to the 206th episode of the Crack Die Podcast.
Woohoo!
We are old.
We've survived.
Are we?
We are old. And we've been doing this game for a long time.
We have.
Mm-hmm. And we're not done yet.
Nope.
Still going strong.
It's only my second episode.
Oh, back to this goblin math again.
Gotta love that goblin math.
Welcome, Rob. Welcome aboard.
Yes, welcome. We are excited to have you. You had many games to choose from today, and we're very happy you decided to fly Delta. Sorry.
Who would ever decide to fly Delta?
Us, if they wanted to sponsor us.
That's true. Fair enough.
I prefer Iceland Air.
Ugh, dream. Air Emirates, I hear, is like super luxurious.
It is very nice.
They have a suite you can get. It's on there, one of their 747s. They have an actual like room. Like it's beyond first class. It's a suite with a bedroom, a bathroom, a shower, and a living room.
God, if I had the money, that's the only way I travel.
If memory serves, that might be Qatar Airways.
Oh, okay.
Because Emirates first class is like, they do have cabins, if memory serves, but it's like a in-person seat thing.
Yeah, no, this was like up in the nose. It was like a whole thing.
I love how like when you look at like airlines and stuff, different countries like Emirates Air, it's like gorgeous first class, all this. And then here in the States, we're like, you want to fly? Here's a plastic molded seat on Frontier.
Yeah, like first class, unlike other airlines, it's like you actually have like a little section to yourself. First class here is like you have enough elbow room for both yourself and the person who's sitting next to you.
Well, this is not the topic I wanted to start the show with. And I have a very important question. I believe everyone here in this group is a pet guardian, an animal guardian, a pet owner, depending on what you want to call yourself. Is that, am I mistaken? Everyone here has pets?
I refer to myself as a pet servant, but that's fine.
That too, yeah.
We have cats, relatable.
I think of myself as a fur mother.
Fur mommy.
Oh, you have your fur babies?
My titties.
This just took a weird left turn.
Yeah. So as people may or may not know, Christine and I have 4 birds as well as 4 cats. However, recently, one of our birds we have taken to be calling Houdini because she will just get out of the cage.
We have no idea how. We came home one day and there was our little yellow bird was sitting on the floor in our kitchen and there was a cat to the north, south, east, and west all just staring like, what do we do?
Like a summoning circle. Like they summon the bird out of the cage.
The doors are all closed on the cage. None of the other birds are out. It's just this one. And like she's done it 3 or 4 times since then now.
Oh gosh.
So my question to everyone else here, what is the weirdest thing your pet has like escaped from or gotten out or any of that stuff?
Gotten into.
Or into, yeah, that's another good one.
So when my mom was pet sitting our dog, she had to leave the house for a little bit. And her dog and our dog had not really gotten to know each other very well. They'd never really been alone together. So she was a little wary of leaving them alone together because her dog is a miniature dachshund and our dog is a husky Rottweiler mix. So she's looks like a husky, but she's
huge.
Black. And no, she's 50 pounds. So she's not huge, but compared to the dachshund, she's much bigger. So she left and she came back and both the dogs were together in the kitchen instead of one of the dogs being isolated in the kitchen and one of the dogs being isolated in the bedroom. And she looked at the gate that she put up between them and there was a hole chewed in the gate.
Oh, jeez.
So she's like, okay. And then she had to go out again. She's like, okay, we'll do this way. So she put like a piece of cardboard in where the hole was, flipped the gate around so they couldn't get to it. Locked one in the bedroom, one in the kitchen. She had to go. She left. She came back. And sure enough, both the dogs were in the kitchen when she got back. They had chewed a hole through the other gate. So the two dogs really wanted to hang out. So she was like, well, I guess there's no problem because, you know, the two dogs were fine. But it's a fun story of determination of two cousins trying to hang out.
That is a pretty great story.
Grandma, no.
So we used to have a beagle. And we had made a peach pie for something. I can't remember why. But we were like, well, we'll put it in the microwave because it closes and you have to hit the button to open it up. So it should be fine. So we left. We came back. And he had pushed a chair up to the counter to get up on the counter. And then he had pushed the microwave off the counter so it fell to the ground and busted open. And he got the pie. We stopped having microwaves after that.
I love that the resolution isn't we figure something out. It's we just stopped having microwaves.
You see, you want to get one that's mounted up under a cabinet.
And then he would have busted out the tools, I'm pretty sure, so.
Okay. Sounds like it.
Crafty beagles.
That's when you learned your beagle actually has opposable thumbs.
When we moved into an apartment, we got a cat and we named it Spooky. And Spooky, I got home one night and I couldn't find him. And the apartment is not big. It's maybe 1,200 square feet. So it's like tiny. I'm calling and I'm calling and I hear a meow from the walls. And I'm like, the fuck is, where did he go? There's nowhere to go. And he found, because I keep hearing him from behind the cabinets, there's a hole underneath the cabinets. Like the cabinets were protruding from the wall and from, there was like a little space underneath the cabinets. And he found a little hole to climb into and he was like in the wall. I was just like, all right, well, you figured out how to get in there. I'm going to figure it. You're going to figure out how to get out. And sure enough, like an hour later, he did. But like, it was an hour of him just sitting in the wall.
Mom, help. Mom, oh, I got this.
That's when your life turns into aliens.
Yeah.
They're in the walls.
Yes. Yeah, right. They're in the walls. Game over, man. Game over.
What is that old Mitch Hedberg joke? I really want an infestation of koalas. Oh my God, it's the cutest infestation ever. I would do that with cats.
But the chlamydia from the koalas, I don't know.
Oh no, yeah.
I could do the cats.
Yeah, well, fair.
What are they called? Quokkas?
Quokkas. The little tiny marsupials, the happiest animals in the world.
Yeah, get a whole army of those instead, perhaps.
An army of quokkas. I'd take an army of red pandas, but that's just me.
Nah, they just mark on everything. They're adorable, but they stink. They're like foxes like that.
Same, but...
Now, my other favorite story of cats getting in places they shouldn't is we switched from dry food to wet food for our cats for a while ago because we have all boys and they have kidney issues and it's like a whole thing and you don't want them to not be able to pee. So we put the rest of the dry food that we had in like a couple Ziploc bags just to keep it fresh for if we had to go away or something and like threw it in a cabinet. And we come home one day and the bag is in the middle of the floor. There's kibble everywhere. There's a hole chewed through the bag because these cats just want the crunchy food, apparently. Because most cats are like, I don't want the crunchy food. I want the wet food. And ours are like, no. Give me the dry little bickies. I want the bickies. But yeah, they had gotten into the cabinet, pulled the bag out, chewed a hole through two layers of plastic, and scattered cat food everywhere.
Oh, no.
I have a cat who actually has an obsession eating, like, tape and plastic. But mostly just like sticky things like tape. And I'm not sure what her deal is. And it's kind of freaking me out.
Loki just loves plastic. He'll chew plastic bags until the cows come. He'll just lick them. Have you ever heard a cat licking a plastic bag for like 5 minutes nonstop? It's weird.
Oh, gosh.
And the new kittens are cardboard chewers. So there's no box in the house that does not look like somebody has like deckle edged it.
Oh, arts and crafts.
Well, I'm sure we could talk about our wonderful pets for hours on end, but that's not what people tune in for. Or if they are, let us know. This whole podcast can take a shift after 206 episodes.
I'll start the Cracked Eye Petcast. It's just meowing for an hour at a time.
Bazinga.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, let's get back to this game where, you know, y'all are in the Temple of All Gods. You're on the second floor. You found a haunt and we're like, nah, we're out.
Look, we tried to help. We just do not have the tools.
Sure. You found a bunch of shrines to the Dwarven Pantheon. And currently, you are in Droskar's Forge. You have noticed that in order to get to Droskar's Forge, you've had to pass through all of these other Dwarven deities. Droskar's Forge is much smaller than all of the other areas. It kind of feels like a participation trophy shrine for Droskar. It's like, well, technically a part of the Pantheon, so we got to give them something, but let's not make it too fancy. When you guys came in here, you found four Scarlet Triad agents that you quickly dispatched, and now you are coming out of combat. Ooh is just leaving her rage.
Is anybody hurt?
Oh, I'm sure I am. I got a scratch here somewhere. I don't know.
Not much, but just a bit. I'm looking at the party. It's unharmed, 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 unharmed. Barely injured.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys are getting really good at dealing with Scarlet Triad members.
And we've only been doing it for, is this book four? Like four whole books by now?
Right.
Yeah.
For Diamond.
I feel at some point there's going to be a legend of us with the Scarlet Triad, and they're just going to, like, leave.
Hopefully.
Like, we've got to have some kind of renown by now with them.
You'd think.
You would think so.
Well, they now recognize you, if that makes you feel better.
Yeah. Recognize us.
I mean, are they just, like, suicidal? Like, why don't they just leave when we show up?
They're zealots. They believe in the task that they've been assigned to do, which is, you know, enslave people and whatnot, so.
Yeah, I would not doubt for a second that they are all ready to complete this on pain of death, so more than willing to give their lives for the cause.
Well, I guess we'll keep obliging them then.
Yep, because it's a shit cause, and you should not be enslaving people.
Yeah.
That's a controversial take, Christine.
I just think like cotton. Let's see how it works for him. Also, if slavery bad is a hot take you're not into, you should not be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, that's... I agree.
Agreed.
If you're like, maybe they... No, turn it off, please.
No. Yeah, we don't want your support if you're like, but slavery not so... No, leave. Goodbye.
Yeah. All right, so let's go in order. Christine, what is Soraya doing for the next 10 minutes?
Getting healed by Brianna.
Great. Hiya. It looks like Brianna healed Soraya. What'd you get?
So Brianna pulls out her healing tools and assesses Soraya's wounds, and she's like, eh, it's pretty superficial, and she'll like rub some ointment, and Soraya got 37 points of healing back.
Thank you, my dear.
Nice.
Of course. Better save of infection.
Heidi, what is Ooh doing?
Ooh is sniffing over Soraya's shoulder and watching Brianna rub stuff all over Soraya and being like, you want to rub me too?
Are you hurt?
Oh, so deeply hurt. I could use a little rubbing there and there.
I will not rub your boobies if they do not have injuries on them.
I can rub you later tonight, dear. Actually, I would love a rest. I keep having these stabbing pains in my stomach.
Oh, no.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
No, it's, I think I just need a good meal and a good night's sleep.
We'll continue to monitor you, but it's best to listen to your body if that's what it needs, then... That's what we should do. What do we think?
So should we take a rest? Winky, winky.
What is everybody else doing for these 10 minutes?
Twin Talon's gone to the south into the antechamber that led north into this room, and he is listening at the western door, which we have not opened yet, just to see if he can figure out if there's anybody else on this floor.
Gotcha, gotcha. And Rob, what is Knife Sword doing?
Plotting to take over the world.
Not surprised.
Same thing he does every night.
He's going to go and see if he can find a snack.
What?
All right. Where is he going to wander?
Oh, he's sticking with a group. He's just going through all his pockets.
Oh, okay. Let's see how well Twin Talon hears things. You don't hear anything through the other side of this door.
Any luck?
Nah, I don't hear anything. Doesn't mean there is anybody there, though.
That's true.
There could be multiple doors in the way, or they're just not making a lot of noise.
Very true. Well, if everybody is more or less ready, should we... press on at least a little bit further before we take a good night's rest.
Maybe this is the place to do it? There's nobody around.
Well, there's a stairwell. There's two stairwells here going to places we haven't been. So I don't think this room is probably the best one.
It is a bit exposed.
Yeah, I do not feel safe resting here, if I'm perfectly honest.
But we can press on in the hopes of finding a safer place, I think.
There's those jail cells in the other...
The one full of ghosts?
Yeah, one full of ghosts who are trying to actively engage us in a giant brawl.
Look, it's called roommates, and sometimes...
I already have my bedfellow. I'm perfectly happy with her.
Hoo-ah!
Somehow don't think they'll take kindly to us spending time over there.
I could make some room for some love. You know, whatever.
For ghosts?
If they're sexy.
They seem much more violent.
Yeah, violent in a not sexy way.
Onwards and upwards?
We could go upward. The stairwell should go up, you said?
Yes.
The door that Twin Talon is standing in front of is the only one we haven't opened that we can see?
Correct.
I mean, I say let's just do that before we go anywhere else and attract attention.
Okay.
All right. Is this door locked, Sean?
It is not.
Okay. Then I'll wait till everybody gets here, and then Twin Talon will open the door.
All right, Knife Sword. Let us go.
Wait for me.
I'm just waiting for a Knife Sword. Like, have you ever seen those videos of the guys who, like, jump and do, like, the super smooth entrance into a car, like, through the window?
Yes.
It's like that, but it's the backpack.
So there's room here. It's an L-shaped room. There's a door to our west and a door to our south.
It actually looks like a mirror of the room from the other side.
Well, yeah.
It does.
I can see, like, it was like that countertop with, that was on the other side, like where people were supposed to like sit and think about stuff or whatever. So there's no chair.
Yeah, same thing here.
Well, we were just in Droskar's area, right?
To the north there was, yeah.
I don't know if I can see through a crack in the door or not, but there's some kind of tiling in the room to the south.
Yeah, we'll call that a crack, not the fact that Sean can't draw straight lines with a straight line tool.
It happens.
It's just what my elf eyes see. It's okay.
Looks like a lot of tiles, a lot of square tiles there.
Shall we check it out?
Sure. I mean, one door is as good as another, I guess. Knife sword, Soraya, are you coming? Or?
As soon as we actually open it.
They're safe back there.
Okay. As we get to the door to the south, Twintalum will listen. Give me a perception, please, Sean. Secret perception check.
Ah, yes. Secret perception. Oh my goodness. Twin Talon is on fire. Someone put him out.
Twin Talon's on fire.
Oh my God, he's on fire.
You hear what I can only describe as slurping.
Why?
It sounds like a wet bag of meat is being punched and then dragged across the floor.
So Twin Town will take his ear away from the door and just kind of look really puzzled. It sounds gross in there. Other than that, I really don't know how to describe it. It sounds like someone's dragging meat around. Maybe it's an ooze of some kind? I don't know.
I mean, I'd rather not have that slurping around if we're going to try and rest.
Indeed.
Yeah, especially we don't really want to come up behind us.
No, I think we might have to dispatch of it.
Now let us handle that, and then perhaps after that we can secure location.
Oh Lord, I can see through the door.
Yep, same. It looks like a weird tumor beast.
Not a tumor.
Sorry. So as you're standing there, you notice that it looks like pools of red liquid are starting to come under the door.
Uh-oh.
Eh, is there such a thing as a blood ooze? Jesus.
I guess we're going to find out. Oh, there was one. Remember the one in that big tube thing that we broke and it was like going to like murder us all and we just ran away?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Well, that's come back to haunt us.
What are the odds there's two of those in two different adventure paths?
Hiya, I made a blind check for you.
What kind of check?
Religion, your favorite.
Ooh.
From the sounds that Twin Talon is describing and the sudden whiff of decay that hits your nose and rotting flesh.
Yum, yum.
This sounds like a war sworn.
The fuck is that?
A war sworn is an animated mass of corpses composed of dozens, sometimes even hundreds of victims of battle. They are formed by deities of undeath or war, or rarely, spontaneously manifest from the devastation of an especially horrendous battle. And with the ghosts on the other half of the building that you've encountered already, you're like, oh, that was a horrendous battle.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, well, somehow I feel like we got the rare number three.
Yeah, you're just putting two and two together, you got eight, and then you're like, oh, this sounds like that. You may ask me one question about them.
What do they like to do for fun?
Oh, I will let you know that they are uncommon, neutral evil, gargantuan, and undead.
Gargantuan, good lord. Do they have any weaknesses?
They do not have any weaknesses, but I will tell you they are immune to death effects, disease, paralyzation, poison, and unconsciousness.
Oh, cool. So we can still crit on them, and they still take precision damage.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Twin Talon's like, oh, fuck, this is going to be easy.
Yeah, as long as we take precision damage, I feel okay about fighting it. It's one of those, we want their ooze, and it was like, there's no precision damage, there's no crits on this thing.
Yeah, it's just like, fuck.
Yeah, we'll just leave. It's fine.
You said they are undead?
They are undead.
Excellent. I have a mod for that.
Yeah, our two heavy hitters are like, oh, fuck yeah, this is fine.
Like, we got this. We got this. I will, like, turn to the rest of the group with, like, a grim expression on my face. Be like, that is a warsworn. It is an undead amalgamation of many different victims who have died horrendously in battle. So I think it would behoove us, and here she'll look to Soraya, who has recently found Phrasma. It would behoove us to put them to rest.
I agree.
Could I suggest, if it's gargantuan, and this is a maybe large door at best, those of you who aren't going to be in melee combat, maybe take a couple steps back, since creatures that are that big normally have some kind of reach.
That would be wise.
I have a throwing range of 60 feet. I will gladly retreat.
I'm going to be back here helping her throw ranges.
Throw spells?
I thought you would be casting your own spells. Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry. Do you not want to see what happens when you take gravity away from this weird amalgamation of dead bodies?
Well, that would make the ranges lighter.
Oh, dear.
Brianna will lower her backpack so now Sora can step out of it.
He rolls out like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Snipes her.
I believe it. Hell yeah.
If you grab him by the ankle and shake him, he'll drop coins.
Rings will fall out.
Strangely familiar rings that you were on your hand a minute ago.
Wait a minute.
All right. I think we've dicked around for long enough. Are we ready to fight this bird?
Yeah. Yeah. We've stalled enough.
I would like to rage.
All right, so Twin Talon will look to Oo and to Brianna to make sure that they are ready to go.
Yep.
Rawr.
Is there anything that you guys would like to do prior to opening the door and rolling initiative?
Yeah, raging, please.
Brianna will raise her shields and have her scimitar at the ready. She'll do her customary, like, swing just to get her wrist flexibility going.
You hit Twin Talon in the face, he bleeds out on the floor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, shit. Well... time to go home.
Surprise, he was undead. That's why it did so much damage.
Gasp. The truth comes out.
I was a vampire this whole time.
Oh, God.
That's why you didn't like Alec.
That's right. There's only room for one vampire in this part.
There can only be one.
All right. So Oo raged. When she rages, she gets to do another thing. So she could do like the Dread Marshal stance or the sharing rage thing. So what do you want to do?
Yes. Does anyone want to share my rage with me? And I've got both my hands out like I'm ready to slap somebody. Come here. No?
I'm scared too.
Come here. No?
I need my focus for throwing, but thank you.
I feel like I should keep my wits about me.
All right. Well, with none of that on the horizon, I would like to take my Dread Marshal stance. Am I scary today?
Yeah.
33.
Hell yeah.
Heck yeah.
That's plenty scary.
I believe that is...
I think it's 32, isn't it? The DC?
Yes, it is. It is 32.
Ooh, I am scary today.
You are scary.
Twin Talon will flinch and then open the door.
Syria just...
Yeah.
Swoon worthy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We love a woman in charge.
That's my girl.
True.
We love a woman who charges. There's a difference.
Yeah. Two things can be true.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
All right. So as you open the door, you see this red and purple mass with corpses kind of undulating as a tentacle would.
I just realized the things at the front of it aren't teeth, they're shields from the dead.
Yeah. I need everyone to roll initiative. I also need everyone to attempt a will save.
Oh, God.
The reason I'm having everyone do a will save right now is as you open the door, it's a 100-foot aura hits you.
Can I use crafting for my initiative if I'm going to be doing alchemy?
Yes, I'll give it to you.
Thank you very much.
He will allow it.
So, I mean, it should be a 35. My crafting is plus 24.
So, for your will saves, so let's do this. I'm going to ask everyone their initiative, and then I'm going to ask you your will save. So, Christine, what did you get for your initiative?
35.
Okay, great. And what is your will save?
30.
Not so good.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
That is a failure. Would you like to use one of your... oh, no, I forgot to give you one for the start of this episode. So, one of your two hero points.
All right, so that was an 11 on the die. I got a roughly 50-50 of doing better. We're going to use the better one either way, so sure. 37.
Nice.
37 is a success.
I will take that over a failure.
Whew.
All right. Next up, Haya.
Yes, sir.
What is your initiative?
My initiative is 32.
Great. And what was your will save?
39.
39, and... if you get a regular success, you get a critical instead. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
All right. So then you have a critical success.
Hooray.
All right. Heidi, what was your initiative?
Got a 33 for initiative and a 23 for all my will save.
Ooh, a 23 is a critical failure.
Yes, I would like to hero point that baby.
All right.
That baby.
Try that again.
Oh, with a whopping 21 this time. I guess I am critically failing.
Oh, no.
All right. Oh, boy. Next, Matt, what did Twin Talon get as an initiative?
37.
37. All right. And what did you get for your will save?
41.
That is a critical success. I lied. That is a regular success. And Rob, initiative?
27.
All right. And will save?
23.
That is a critical failure. Would you like to hero point?
All right. I'm trying to steal my hero points all the time.
They're just so good.
39.
That is a regular success. All right. So, Heidi, with your critical failure, you are frightened 4.
Oof.
That's bad.
No one regular failed, which would be a frightened 2. Everyone who succeeded is frightened 1. And since Brianna critically succeeded, you are not frightened at all.
Guess what? I do have a feat for this specifically. It is called Aura of Courage. You stand strong in the face of danger and inspire allies to do the same. Whenever you become frightened, reduce a condition value by 1 to a minimum of 0. At the end of your turn, when you would reduce your frightened condition value by 1, you also reduce the value by 1 for all allies within 15 feet.
Ooh, that's really cool. You just need to have everyone within 15 feet at the end of your turn.
I try my best.
Yeah. The good thing is, regardless of the result of the throw, you are temporarily immune from this frightful presence for 1 minute. So hopefully we won't have to roll that again. And if we do, well, then we do.
So let's go back to what frightened does.
Sure, that is a good question. Frightened always includes a value.
Apparently you take status penalty equal to the value to all your checks and DCs, unless specified otherwise. At the end of each of your turns, the value of your frightened condition decreases by 1.
So, ooh is minus 4 on all of their attacks DCs. Everyone else is minus 1 to their attacks and DCs. DCs include things like your armor class. So, just so everyone's aware. All right, so, start of the first round, the Warsworn goes first.
Boo!
Boo!
The first thing it does is what's called a corpse wave.
What?
No.
I laugh because I'm nervous.
All of the corpses in the body just stick up a hand and go, hi. No. Not that type of wave, unfortunately.
Aww.
It swings out at Twin Talon.
Now!
That is a 40 to hit. However, since you use stealth for initiative, you are initially undetected. So I rolled an 8, which means I missed.
So if he's undetected, what would that look like? Question mark. Is it just lashing out for the sake of lashing out?
Yes.
So it knows what square I'm in, but it doesn't know exactly where I am in that square, essentially.
Okay, so like got a flicker of you.
Right, it knows something's there, but not exactly what. So it's just kind of swinging in that area, and I managed to get out of the way of all of the waving hands as they go by.
Got it.
It hits the door and feel it shudder because you opened it, and it opened inwards towards you. So you just kind of like, nope. Second action, you see a bunch of the swords that are in this creature that were like either stabbed through some of the bodies of the corpses, and it throws those swords at you.
Oh boy. But you still mean Twin Talon, right?
Sorry, you being Brianna.
Ah, hello.
27 to hit?
27 does not hit. Let me quadruple check that it's not a critical failure. I don't believe so.
Oh, no, it is. It is.
Oh, it is. It is. It is.
Because it's a natural 1. All right. This is a magical melee attack.
Is it unarmed?
So it's basically a physical version of animate weapon. So it is technically a melee attack.
Okay.
Broken weapon. Your weapon's current hit points are reduced to its broken threshold. If already broken, the weapon takes 3d6 damage, ignoring hardness. I will do the unarmed because it makes more sense. That is frustrated. You take a minus 2.
I would say that if you use broken weapon, once an item is reduced to its broken threshold, it cannot be used for that purpose anymore. So if you wanted to do that, then it just couldn't use animated weapon. It couldn't use that attack anymore.
Oh, that's true. Okay, I'll do that then. I removed it from its character sheet, so I can't even accidentally click it.
Just shatters its swords on Brianna's shield.
Yeah. And then for its third action, it is going to slorp away.
Does that provoke from Brianna?
No, because she does not have reactions yet, because she has not had an action.
Okay, fine.
Lame.
There it is. 30 feet. It is now Twin Talon's turn.
All right. So Twin Talon, terrified by both the Warsworn and Ooh directly behind him, is going to go into the room. So he's moving into the room to come adjacent to the Warsworn. Then he's going to whistle, and Taisani's going to swoop in. So she's going to end up at the southeast corner of the Warsworn. And then Twin Talon now gets his sneak attack against the Warsworn, so he will attack it.
All right. Oh, also, Matt, once you make your attack, we had a question come in about some of your abilities, and it came into our Facebook.
Oh, okay.
How you heal Taisani to heal other people and what that combination is.
Got it. So the way that works is I have an ability from Beastmaster dedication, from the Beastmaster archetype, that gives me a focus spell called Heal Animal. And I have an item which basically says if you cast a heal spell and it overheals the target, you can redirect any additional healing to yourself or an adjacent ally.
Okay. And that was from Nicholas on our Facebook page. So thank you for listening, Nicholas. I hope that answers your question.
And thanks for writing in.
Yes, thank you. All right. Now, this Warsworn you swung at, what'd you get?
I got a 47 to hit. That was also a natural 20.
Sheesh.
Nice.
So that is a double crit.
Oh, damn.
Oh, good. So I get to draw two cards and pick the one I want?
Draw two, pick the one you like better, unless it's from our patron, and then you have to use it because they paid for that privilege.
Yeah, I got you.
And we appreciate all of you.
All right, so my options are vulnerable spot. The target is flat-footed until healed, or pinned arm. As the bow critical specialization effect, and the target can't use one of its arms until freed. If using a melee weapon, you must drop it to gain this effect. I choose not that one. So I'll choose vulnerable spot. The target is flat-footed until healed. So now it's flat-footed to everybody. Or off guard. It is now off guard to everybody. And double damage. Also, I'm going to put precise debilitation on it.
Now people don't even have to worry about flanking.
That is correct. Also, I don't know if this thing can be deafened, but if it can...
It is not... immune.
Nice.
Fortitude save. DC 23 fortitude save. It's not super high for this guy, but...
34.
It's fine.
All right.
So it takes 72 points of damage. 58 piercing, 10 sonic, and 4 electricity.
No, thank you.
And I put precise debilitation, so the next attack that I hit should do an extra 3d6. All right. So I moved. I attacked. Let's attack again.
Do it.
Seems like the thing the cool kids are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go all out, you know.
Okay, so that is a 28, which is coming up as a miss. Is that correct?
That is correct. It is a miss. That was a 5 on the die.
We don't know what its AC is, but it's less than, or it's 37 or less. So I rolled a 47. That was a double crit.
And it is now flat-footed as well, so.
I mean, it was before, too. Off guard.
Well, yeah, that's true. For you, for your attack.
How many hero points do I have, Sean? Did you give me one for this game?
Yeah, you have 2 left.
I'll save it. It's fine. Sorry. I don't mean to take as much time. That's it for me.
All right. Saraya, it is your turn. You are a Fatwagid. You are not hidden. You're a Fatwagid and you are frightened 1.
I am. I'm Fatwagid. I am frightened 1. And I can no longer see this thing. So I'm going to move. Cool. So I can see it from there, taking only 1 movement action. And let's see how far it is from me. It is 55 feet away, so I don't have to move any closer. Saraya likes to be prepared. We've been in a weird underground place with undead things, so I've got a whole bunch of ghost charges pre-made for today, which means I'm going to throw 1. Alrighty, let me target our big, bad, nasty guy here. Alrighty, is that the greater? It is.
My name is Steve.
Hi, Steve. I'm going to kill you. Ah, shit, I missed with a 26, but that was a 3 on the die. I have 1 more hero point, so I'm going to reroll that.
Not like that, you're not.
A 30.
That is a miss.
Oh, fuck you.
Boo.
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 It's not a critical miss, at least.
It's not a critical miss, so that's good. Alrighty. So I will try again with a sec. Does it take the splash anyway?
Yes, it does. How much splash?
3 vitality splash, because it's undead and that should be... nasty to it. So vitality is the new posse because the term changes. Ghost charge is specifically for undead things, and you said this was undead.
You also said it didn't have any weaknesses, though, so...
Yeah, it doesn't have any weaknesses, but I'm going to dig around and see if it takes more than that, but as of now, I'm going to say it doesn't and subtract the three.
Alrighty. And I'm going to try again. I have a high chance of crit failing, but I have nothing else to do. 33 is also going to miss, I assume.
Yep, but not by much.
Boo.
Okay. Alright, so it takes three more splash. So it has taken six splash damage, and I feel useless.
Nah, don't. It's just fucking dice.
Nah, it's all good. But my frighten goes away now, because it's the end of my turn.
It does. Your frighten drops.
Hooray.
So fortunately, next turn, I have a slightly better chance of hitting it again. And I have six of those pre-made, so I can do this all fucking day.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, Cap. All right, Heidi, it is Ooh's turn.
She screams a little wildly, and she says really loudly, Hades, Cletus, Shadus, and Bavis! Because she thinks she sees some people she knows, but really she knows that they're not them, but she thinks she sees them. And she runs in and double charges, and what is the thing called?
Sudden charge.
Yeah, that's the one. See, you know me. One, da-da-da-da. And she swings. For 32.
That will miss.
What?
You have three hero points.
Two now.
You're also at a minus four because you're frightened. So if you wait till Brianna goes, you'll be down to frightened two. So next turn will be much better for you.
You know what? Let's swing again.
Yeah, might as well.
21.
Critical miss.
Jeez.
Oh, no.
Number 49. This is from Baizo. Melee. This is called, wait, what? You are confused. That's all it says. You are confused. Here we go.
You don't have your wits about you and you attack wildly. You are off guard. You don't treat anyone as your ally, though they might still treat you as theirs. And you can't delay, ready, or use reactions. You can use all your actions to strike or cast offensive cantrips, though the GM can have you use other actions to facilitate attacks such as draw a weapon, move so the target is in reach, and so forth. Your targets are determined randomly by the GM. If you have no other viable targets, you target yourself, automatically hitting, but not scoring a critical hit. If it's impossible for you to attack or cast spells, you babble incoherently, wasting your actions. Each time you take damage from an attack or spell, you can attempt a DC 11 flat check to recover from your confusion and end the condition.
Jeez, this is rough.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Every time she gets hit, though, like you said, you make the save. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Well, leave it to Beaver to cause some trouble. Cool. So that's the end of my turn?
There's so many jokes I could be making, but my mother reminded me with our Christmas gift, which is a Christmas tree pickle ornament, that she listens to this podcast.
All right. So, well, let's look at the positive things here. Your frightened condition decreases by one, so now you're only taking minus three to your attacks.
Cool, 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 cool. Love that.
That's all the positivity I can spin. Haya, it is your turn.
It is my turn. Okay. Brianna will look around to whoever is within 15 feet and be like, we fought undead before. This is nothing we cannot do. Come on. And have that be her aura of courage. She will move up next to Ooh and do what she does best and swing. Has a 41.
That is a hit.
Whoop, whoop.
I would like to react to murder what she's done.
Declined.
You cannot. 21 points of damage.
All right. All right.
She will do so again.
Well, hang on. We got to let some opportune backstab go off here. Oh, sorry. Reactive murder.
59 damage.
God damn.
All right. All right.
Nice. Jeez, 59. Good lord. All right. Well, I'll continue doing shitty amounts of damage over here. Roll again, and I miss, I believe, with a 27.
You do miss.
And for my last action, I want to raise my shield. Oh, wait, no, I can't because I moved, so that's it.
All right.
No, I need it.
And since Ooh is within 15 feet, her level of frightened goes down by one as well.
Yep, I'll follow the rules. So, Heidi, you're only taking a minus two to your attacks now.
Hooray! I'm still confused.
All right, Rob, it is Knife Sword's turn.
Oh, hello.
Well, hi.
Where'd everybody go?
Forward, Rav.
Did you just take a nap in the middle of the battlefield?
No comment. Okay, I moved once. I can't see anything. So, well, okay, I'm down to one movement. So at this time, I'm just going to do a magic missile. I can't remember. How many D4s do I cast for a magic missile?
Are you casting it as a level 7 spell?
Yeah.
So 1, 3, 5, 7 is 4 missiles.
Four missiles? Okay. 10 damage. Hopefully I'll be able to do more next turn.
All right. Well, the good news is your fright level drops by 1, so you're now no longer scurred. Bad news is it is now the top of round 2, which means it's the monster's turn, and they're just misunderstood. So it is going to try and send a wave of corpses at Ooh.
No thanks.
Oofa, doofa. That is a 40 to hit.
And that hits.
I will liberate.
All right. That is a critical hit.
How many hero points do I have, Sean?
3.
Excellent. Take one of mine and reroll, please.
I don't wanna.
Well, you gotta.
Just so you know, that was an 8 on the die.
Jeez.
And it got a 40?
Correct.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you still want to use the hero point?
Fuck it, yeah.
All right. 34.
Oh, it was worth it.
Yeah. It's a regular hit now.
Thank goodness.
And Heidi, I need you to make a fortitude save, please.
Thursdays are for fortitude saves.
Mm-hmm.
38.
Success.
Yeah.
A critical success as a juggernaut.
Oh, it is a critical success as a juggernaut.
Ow.
Oh, you're immune to the ability for 24 hours now. All right. So you're going to take 41 points of damage.
Minus 16, I believe it's now.
Yes. That is 25 points of damage.
All right.
And then for my second action, I'm going to have those corpses wave at... I'm going to roll. One will be... Oh! Ooh, wait. Ooh, make a flat check.
Yeah. 7!
Ooh, not quite enough, but, you know. Unfortunately, you are still confuzzled. All right, I'm going to roll a D3. 1 will be Brianna, 2 will be Ooh, 3 will be Twin Talon. 1, Brianna.
Let's go. That's what I'm here for.
You know, when that corpse wave hits, you just got to go with it.
I don't know when that corpse wave hits.
That is a 40 to hit.
That will hit.
All right, give me a fortitude save.
Oh, no. What will I do?
Anything but that.
I mean, fail. Watch me talk smack fail. And then immediately fail. Yeah.
Fail!
Yeah. Oh, no.
Fail?
Yes.
You rolled a 4.
Fuck. You know what? Take another hero point.
Delicious, delicious hero points.
Might as well use them, right, guys?
Yeah, use them or lose them.
Might as well. I just wish he actually gave them out like he was supposed to.
Yeah, well, it looks like I fail anyway. Too higher.
Well, if wishes were fishes or something, 32 is still a fail.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, this is not great for you. I'll be honest.
Well, what choice do I have?
You are drained 2.
Oof.
Not the worst part, by the way. You are doomed 1.
Oh, damn. Oh,
God. For those of us who don't know, remind us what doomed does.
All right, so we'll start with drained. Drained always includes a value. In this case, it's 2. You take a status penalty equal to your drain value on constitution-based checks, such as fortitude saves. Not terrible for you, but this is the bad part. You lose a number of hit points equal to your level times the drain value, and your maximum hit points also are reduced by the same amount.
Jesus.
For example, if you're hit by an effect that inflicts drained 3 and you're a third level character, you lose 9 hit points and reduce your maximum hit points by 9. Losing these hit points does not count as taking damage. Each time you get a full night's rest, your drain value decreases by 1.
Jeez.
This increases your maximum hit points, but does not immediately recover the lost hit points.
Which isn't a big deal.
No. That's drained. So that's pretty rough. Doomed. Again, doomed always includes a value. The dying value at which you die is reduced by your doom value. If your maximum dying value is reduced to 0, you instantly die.
Oh, well.
When you die, you are no longer doomed. Your doomed value decreases by 1 each time you get a full night's rest.
Well, good thing we were talking about taking a rest.
Getting some sleep. Oh, I was not expecting for that to actually work on you. I was like, knife, sword, or Soraya might get it, but...
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, no, you're a juggernaut too, aren't you, Soraya?
Yeah, because I deal with alchemy and poisons.
Yeah, The ladies all took Juggernaut.
Yeah, the ladies are all the Juggernauts. I still need to make that t-shirt. I've been working on it. Thursdays are for Fort Saves Juggernaut Club.
All right, and then for the last action, I'm just going to corpse wave at Twin Talon. That is a 41 to hit.
That's a hit.
All right. Would you please be so as kind to make a fortitude save for me?
Come on, Twin Talon.
I rolled a 43.
That is a success, but not a critical success.
So does anything happen, but I'm just not immune, or what?
No, you're not immune. Nothing happens.
Okay.
You know what I forgot to do in all of that excitement of dooming and draining Brianna is I forgot to roll damage for her.
Oh, damn it.
That's okay.
You don't have to, yeah.
You don't need to.
Sorry.
Drained doesn't matter as much if we don't take the damage, you see.
Yeah, that's 45 points of damage to you, Haya. Would you like to use your shield at all? Your shield has a 15-point hardness, and it has 90 hit points currently.
Her shield was not up.
I can reactive shield, though, can I?
Right, it would just take two reactions to do it, but you could do it.
Oh, because you didn't raise your shield.
Yeah, your shield wasn't up. Remember, you moved, attacked, attacked. So you'd need a reaction to pull your shield into place, then a second reaction to do the shield block, which you're the only person in the group that could actually do that because you have three reactions instead of one like everybody else. So you could absolutely do it.
Nah, I'll take it. It's fine.
Okay.
And genuinely, I'd rather use my stuff to protect you guys because this stuff's nasty and I'm okay. I can take 40 some hit points.
And then Twin Talon, you're going to take 39 points of damage.
I will liberate.
You are going to take less damage.
Hooray.
You're going to take 23 points of damage.
Okay, I accept.
If you must.
All right. So that is the end of the War Sworn's turn. I'm happy. I got to inflict the status effects I really wanted to inflict. But we are out of time for today. So before you go, Matt, we're going to just end it here. I'm going to let you all think about being doomed and drained and confused and frightened. I've thrown a lot of status effects. I'm really proud of myself. Good job, Sean. You did good today, Sean. Good job.
Great job, Sean.
Are you actually like high-fiving yourself? It sounds like it.
It definitely did sound like it, didn't it?
I was patting myself on the back. It's okay.
Don't break your arm.
Look, someone has to cheer for the GM. I don't got Finder of Path and Stars giving me villain points all the time. Matthew.
He's not the only one, but yeah, appreciate it. Also, if you're curious about what ability allows me to transfer those hit points, it's called Vitality Siphon. So you can look it up when you get a chance.
Great. Thank you for that. All right, real quick. I know this is not our normal ending, but we're getting close to the end of this book. Send us questions. There's a link in the show notes.
Good job, Sean. You remembered.
I did. All right, we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Like and subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review.
Thank you for listening to the Cracked Die podcast. Please visit us at crackdie.com. Pathfinder 2nd Edition and the Age of Ashes Adventure Path are property of Paizo. Background audio is provided by Sirenscape because epic games deserve epic music. Please visit them at sirenscape.com. Additional background music was provided by Epidemic Sound. Please visit them at epidemicsound.com. The Cracked Eye podcast theme was composed by Angelo Di Loreto. He is forever missed. This episode was edited by Nathan. Please visit them on Twitter at @editingnate. Finally, thank you to all our patrons for assisting us in breathing life into this production. We do not know where we'd be without them. Our esteemed patrons are Cassandra Connors, D, Jacob Wilhelmi, Doombeard, Finder of Path and Stars, Logan, Mike Minatillo, Anwar Musa, Thomas Beard, Jason Leach, Margaret Torello, Shaka Jamal, Bibbity, Lee Jackson, Chris Simmons, Celine Turcotte, Michael A. Hill, Duke, Kyle Nichols, J. Vance Seven, Sean Moore, Cameron Heenan, Corey Fellers, David Montgomery, Gregory Bleichner, and Len Cole. If you'd like to join our Patreon, please visit patreon.com/crackdiepodcast.